You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the UFC Buzz Podcast here with William Hill ahead of UFC Fight Night Manoa versus Anderson. Dave Kellner here in the studio with the BT Sport pundit and regular on the UFC Buzz Podcast, Gareth A. Davis. First of all, a good afternoon to you, Gareth.
A very good afternoon to you, David. Hope you're well. On a day when the UFC have not only got the London event coming out, but have announced that they've got three more events in Europe this year. They're heading back to Scotland. They're going to the Netherlands and also to Poland this year. So, you know, they are trying to lift things in the European market.
Definitely expanding. That can only be good for the UFC as well, Gareth.
I think so. I mean, I think one of the things that they've got to try and do is kind of increase the power on their cards. That's all. They're trying to grow the territories, and you know, it's a signal that they've got intent in the areas anyway. I mean, Europe's an important market for fight sports, and it can't be neglected. You know, as we're seeing with lots of other cottage industries kind of sprouting up in terms of other organizations, Cage Warriors and BAMA, Bellator in America are making strides in Europe as well. So the UFC have to respond, and I think they are.
Let's talk about this week's action then, Gareth. UFC Fight Night 107 from London, and we're going to spin through five fights on the card, one of them on the undercard, and we'll start off with that fight. Joseph Duffy versus Reza Madadi, and Duffy is 1-7 to win this fight. Madadi is in the betting at 9-2. Irish Joe, as he's known, Joseph Duffy. He's submitted 10 opponents and knocked out 4, all but one in the first round. A guy really making a name for himself, Duffy.
Definitely. Look, this is a guy with a victory over Conor McGregor, let's not forget. Not in the UFC, but, you know, it's a fight we wondered whether a rematch would ever happen between the two. But to have a win over Conor McGregor on your resume is certainly something, given the standing in the world of Conor McGregor at the moment, and that continual debate, of course, about whether McGregor will fight the boxer Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match. I mean, overnight, I'm in the United States at this very moment, and on the Conan O'Brien show last night here, Dave, the UFC president Dana White was on that show, and he was saying that he thinks the fight may well happen. He can't see it happen. It's such a big fight. There's a lot of egos in the way, he said, but sees it happening. But for Joseph Duffy, you know, that kind of golden feather in his cap, if you like, always makes him formidable in some ways. I mean, his only UFC, you know, kind of defeat really in his 2-year career in the UFC. I mean, he was a Cage Warriors fighter before that. Was to Dustin Poirier, one of the top-level fighters, who Conor McGregor's got a victory over, of course. But he's coming off the back of a good win against Mitch Clark, submission by rear naked choke last July. So, you know, he's in a tough fight against the Persian Reza Madadi, who lives in Stockholm, Sweden, originally, of course, from Tehran, known as Mad Dog, and he fights that way as well. So you can expect a very aggressive, come forward, frenetic start from Madadi. But Joseph Duffy is a very sleek martial artist, and he's brilliant in submission terms and a very cool, calm customer. I think this is going to be a very, very good fight.
He's had his problems, hasn't he, Madadi, both in and outside the octagon, Gareth?
He has, you know, caught up in a law enforcement investigation in Sweden, of course, and you know he's had some issues there, disputes it, but you know I think the thing is about Madadi, when he's in the octagon he really does deliver. He's a dangerous fighter, and it's a great fight to have as the last prelim before we move on to the main card. I think Duffy wins this. I think Madadi kind of rushes in, puts Duffy under pressure, but I think Duffy gets him to the ground, and I think Duffy wins by submission in this fight.
Joseph Duffy by submission, good bet, good price as well, 7-2 in the last of the prelim fights. Let's move on to the main card, and we'll start with Arnold Allen versus Makwan Amikani. And Allen is even money, Amikani in the betting at 4-5. We do have options for fight to go the distance, and total rounds, the spread is set at 2.5. Amikani entered the UFC with a reputation of being a grappling expert, but he's quickly made a name for himself with a massive flying knee, and he can talk a bit as well, can't he, Amikani? Allen is a good prospect himself as well, Gareth. So very interesting fight with two up-and-coming stars, potential stars in the featherweight division.
No, definitely. I mean, I remember interviewing Makwani for the American TV station Fox after his win over Andy Ogle in Stockholm, Sweden. I remember him kind of saying, "Before I speak, you've got to touch my biceps." He got an amazing flying knee and punches that night. Victory over Andy Ogle, one of the British bulldog British fighters, and he's a real character, Amikani. He's very, very fluid. He's a terrific fighter. He got a decision victory over Mike Wilkinson as well, about just over a year ago. Very, very exciting young fighter. Real character, as I say, really brings it. But, you know, he's up against a very interesting fighter in Suffolk's Arnold Allen, who, again, is a very rounded fighter, very young man, who has come into the sport and has great ambitions. He's still only 23. These are both, as you say, they're both young fighters, both looking to get a foothold in the UFC, in the top 10, top 15, if you like, and establish themselves there. They're both quite big featherweights as well. Again, this is a tough fight to call. Allen is very tough. Very good stand-up. Makwani's the same, probably more explosive, more of a finisher, if you like, I would say, Amikani, but takes more risks. But I think Amikani might well take this, and I'm expecting a spectacular finish by him before the end of the third round.
Amikani to win the fight 4-5 here with William Hill. Let's move on to Brad Pickett versus Marlon Vera. Pickett is 8-11, Vera in the betting at 11-10, and whether he wins or gets beaten, this will be Brad Pickett's last fight in the octagon, and he's been waiting for this swan song in London, England for some time, Gareth.
Yeah, it's played on Brad's mind, Dave, for a while, whether he should retire or not. You know, he's had a very long and very decorated career, and of course has a victory over Demetrius Johnson, the UFC flyweight champion, not in the UFC, but before he got into the UFC when he was in the World Extreme Cage Fighting Championships. That's another golden feather in his cap. One of the great stars, I think, of British mixed martial arts in this young sport. You know, grew up. He's got an amazing backstory. Brad, of course, grew up in the Himalayas, going to boarding school in the Himalayas. His parents had a shoe company in India. And when he was a very young child, mum and dad, who are sadly not around anymore, of course, made bespoke shoes for the likes of Elton John and Mick Jagger. Not a lot of people know this. And Brad would be at home or in the factory or in the shop. And these guys would be coming in and he was mixing with these stars. He didn't know who they were. Brad's one of the loveliest men I've ever met in fight sports. A real pioneer. A fighting gentleman. He's got his own brand, One Punch. I will proudly keep the T-shirt he gave me this week. I saw him earlier in the week. Yeah, I haven't yet to get it signed. I'll probably never wear it. It'll get framed somewhere, and I'll give it away in an auction, a charity auction at some point. Brad, for me, will go down in history as one of the great pioneers of mixed martial arts. He delivers when he fights. Obviously, he went from bantamweight down to flyweight in the hope of fighting Demetrius Johnson in the UFC for the title. But at his age, the weight cuts were too difficult. It didn't go well for him. He had a bad run. There are a lot of red marks on his record over the last few years, a lot of losses. I'm not going to count them right now, but more losses than there are wins. Of course, he was going to be facing Henry Briones originally, but nine days out, he learned that he'll be replaced by Marlon Vera. The most important thing for Brad Pickett in this fight is to leave happy that he's delivered in the octagon. He didn't do that against Uriah Faber. When I spoke to him this week, he said, you know, I felt I was so unhappy about my performance in that fight. He's had a tendency to feel a bit tentative recently. And I think, you know, he just needs to be very relaxed, know that everyone's behind him in this fight. And I just hope it's a great swan song for him. I mean, you know, Brad's got all kinds of tools in his armory. But, you know, this guy Vera is, you know, 12 years younger. He's got a very decent record. You know, he emerged from the Ultimate Fighter Latin America in May 2014. He's fairly rounded. He's Ecuadorian. He's taller than Brad. He's got a long reach. So Brad's got to be smart in this fight. I'm going to pick Brad. It's probably heart over head, but I'm hoping that he gets his hand raised and Pickett, we see for the final time, being lifted to the rafters and leaving the octagon and leaving the UFC with a victory to end his career.
Very good. 8-11 it is for Brad Pickett to win. Do you think the fight goes the distance, Gareth?
I think possibly. I think Brad would be looking to stop this guy. You know, the thing is with Brad, he's so heavy-handed, he can really hurt opponents. We don't know how good Marlon Vera really is. I think the travel and the lateness of the opponent call-up works to Brad's favour. I'm looking for him to get a stoppage in the second or third round.
Okay, that's Brad Pickett versus Marlon Vera. Let's look at Gunnar Nelson versus Alan Juban. And Juban is in the betting at 21-10. Gunnar Nelson is odds on here, 4-11 Nelson to win this fight. Nelson, 15-2-1 in his career, jumped out to a perfect record of 13-0-1, but back-to-back losses over the past few years have slowed him down slightly, Gunnar Nelson. He looked like he was going to challenge at one point for the 170-pound title. Juban, a part-time model, Gareth, as well as his work in the octagon.
Yeah, I mean, listen, being a pretty boy doesn't win you fights in MMA. And Juban's more than that. He's a fantastic stand-up fighter. He's very, very durable. But as you say, Gunnar's had a couple of blemishes, you know, notably against Rick Story over in Sweden. I was there that night. It wasn't him. He was, it was a decision loss. It was a split decision loss. And he got schooled in jiu-jitsu by Demian Maia, who can school anyone, who's like, you know, he's like a rucksack padlocked to your back at times. he's so brilliant, Demian Maia. And, you know, Maia will challenge for the welterweight title soon. I'm almost certain of that. But, you know, against kind of dangerous strikers, powerful fighters, you know, Brandon Thatch and Albert Tumanov, he dealt with them very easily. I think the key for this one, if Nelson gets Juban to the ground at all, it's curtains. And he literally is brilliant at changing the fight in a couple of seconds. He's got to be careful. He's got to keep his hands up when he's in range. Juban is dangerous. He's a great striker and, as I say, very resilient. But I think at some point in this fight, Gunnar Nelson will get Juban to the ground. And I expect a submission victory for Gunnar Nelson late in the second or in the third round.
4-11 for Gunnar Nelson to win that fight against Alan Juban. And then the main event, Gareth, light heavyweight division, Jimmy Manua versus Corey Anderson. And Manua is in the betting at 8-13 odds on. Corey Anderson is in the market at 13-10. We do have a full range of markets available for this bout. We've got method of result, round betting, fight to go the distance, and plenty of other markets on the William Hill website right now. 37 years old now, Jimmy Manua. I don't think he's going to correct me if I'm wrong, Gareth, but it's unlikely that he gets another shot at the title. But you've mentioned this on podcast before, Gareth, that there are gatekeepers in certain divisions, and Jimmy Manuel looks like a gatekeeper in the light heavyweight division.
Well, you can say that, but I'm not going to agree with you. Jimmy would flick me down to the ground with his little finger. Look, I don't agree with you, and I'll tell you why. Because of Jimmy's style and because of where he sits in the light heavyweight division at the moment at number four, I know he's been beaten by Alexander Gustafsson and Anthony Johnson, who are ranked number one and number two in the division at the moment. Corey Anderson's number six, so this is a great fight. It's a real important fight. You know, putting the number four ranked fighter in Manu against the number six in Corey Anderson, who's climbed recently, of course, and does look very, very good. Jimmy has a very dangerous, very explosive stand-up style. He's a thrilling fighter. He's a very modest man as well, Jimmy. I've enjoyed seeing him come out of himself in the last couple of years. You know, he used to say to me, my hands used to get clammy doing media interviews because I was so nervous.
Right.
The only place I ain't nervous is when that bell goes, you know. I do think he's got to be careful against Corey Anderson, who's a very determined and can be slightly tricky fighter at times. But I really do think Jimmy's going to pull off something spectacular in this fight. I mean, Corey lost to Shogun Hua in May last year in Curitiba, Brazil, you know, and also lost to Jan Vellante back in 2015. But I don't think he's faced the level of opponents that Jimmy's faced. Jimmy came in, you know, as a very, very powerful striker from UCMMA and, you know, was straight into the top of the food chain. The weird thing with Jimmy is, yes, he's 37, but he doesn't carry that in his body. He's had a couple of surgeries, but if he gets hold of you, he finishes. It's as simple as that. And I do think he's going to get a finish in this fight. Obviously, there's, you know, it's a long fight, this. It's a main event, so it will be over five rounds. And I think, you know, if Jimmy establishes a rhythm in this fight, I fully expect him to knock Anderson out. But what he's got to be careful about is being on the ground with this guy. Mm. He is a wrestler. He was a Division III, NCAA Division III wrestler. So he's got wrestling in his background. You know, he's a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Jimmy's ground game has been improving as well since he's been training over in the United States. But this is one of those classic fights where Jimmy will want to keep it standing. And if he does, I think he gets a finish from round three onwards.
Jimmy Manuel by knockout, technical knockout or disqualification in the betting at 5-6. Manuel in round three is 9-1. Round four, 14-1. And round five available at 22-1 here with William Hill. Just before we wrap up, Gareth, a quick word on Anderson. And he strikes me as a fighter that's still a little bit ill-disciplined at times and chases after opponents around the octagon and doesn't stick to his pre-fight game plan on occasion, and that can cost him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's a very good call. And I think that could well play into Jimmy's hands in this fight, you know. I don't think, I mean, Anderson could go on to be a great mixed martial artist, you know. I mean, he's 10 years younger than Jimmy. He's still got a long career ahead of him. But I, you know, they're very evenly matched physically. I will say that. He's very powerful. But I just think Jimmy's got that explosive power with his kicks and his punches. And once he's on you, he doesn't finish. Once he sniffs a finish, once he sniffs blood, you ain't getting him off you. And I really do think he'll get the finish in this fight. If it goes to the ground, there could be problems for him. That's all.
Jimmy Manuel, 8-13 to win the fight. If you put Gareth's five selections into an accumulator, it pays 6.82-1. That's Joseph Duffy, Amakwan Amikani, Brad Pickett, Gunnar Nelson and Jimmy Manua as Gareth's five selections. Gareth, thank you for your company.
It's always a pleasure, David. Enjoy the fights, everyone.
Absolutely, will do indeed. If you want to follow Gareth on Twitter, at Gareth A. Davis DT is Gareth's Twitter handle. You can follow myself at D. Kellner. Check out all the MMA odds for the UFC Fight Night 107 on the William Hill website and on the William Hill app as well. And myself and Gareth will be back very, very soon for more on the UFC Buzz podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.